Let me do my intro as well then. So my name is Chris Auld. I am the Chief Technology Officer at Intergen. We are a company of about 800 people, offices in Australia and New Zealand, and an office in Redmond, Washington. So we do a lot of work with Microsoft. I've Microsoft Azure MVP. I think I was the first Azure MVP. So I have been working with Azure since 2008, 2009, when it was called Red Dog, if you ever remember back. So I'm looking forward to spending the day with you. Please do ask questions as we go. Obviously, my Spanish is not very good at all. I can say thank you. But I do look forward to having conversations through the day. So welcome to Immersion. Immersion is focused on helping you to, as partners, to deliver content to your customers, to understand the potential of the Microsoft Cloud Platform, in particular Azure, to enable them to innovate with applications. The goal of this today is to help all of you understand the content and be able to prepare to present the content to your customers. So we will go through the content, but there is more content than we will cover today. There are documents to read that go into a lot of detail. So I would encourage you to read those documents, because they will cover very deep concepts that we may not cover in full depth today. So preparing to deliver Immersion is about reading the guides, attending a presentation like this or watching the video, and using that to be ready to have discussions with customers. So we're going to cover two broad areas today. The first is called Envision and Evolve. That's going to involve some PowerPoint presentations. Hope you like PowerPoint presentations. But that's to set the vision of the Microsoft Cloud Platform and the vision for architects as enablers of change within businesses. Then we move on to experience. With Immersion, experience is a hands-on experience. I hope you have brought your laptops. But this particular Immersion focuses very much around some whiteboards. And you may choose to present those whiteboards by actually drawing them, or you may choose to present them using diagrams that we have in slides. But the idea is to be able to talk with architects and guide them through the process as a discussion, conversation about their applications. So the whiteboards are designed to help do that. So our high-level agenda for the day, we will spend the first part of this morning talking about Envision and Evolve. We will get laptops out. I will show you how to log into the Immersion environment. And then we will start walking through the three experiences that make up Immersion, and we'll cover those in depth as we go. So we'll start by talking about Envision. Before we do that, at a high level, Immersion covers a number of topics, all of which are delivered through the common platform. So the platform involves remote desktop to server machines hosted somewhere and a Windows 8 application that you will use to navigate and explore the content. Other content in Immersion includes Transform the Data Center, focused on System Center, Data Insight Immersion, focused on business intelligence, HD Insight, machine learning and so forth. Empower Enterprise Mobility, looking at Intune and mobile devices, and content on the Internet of Things. Our content is Enable Application Innovation. So let's talk a little about the big topics in technology at the moment. Things and devices. Everybody in the room appears to have multiple devices. Who has a Fitbit? Yeah, a few Fitbits, phones, smartwatches, right? Everything today is moving to being connected. Buses, taxis, aircrafts, jet engines, everything connects to the internet. Everything sends its data to the internet, right? We have an explosion of data. The thing that's driving data is cost. Cheap storage means we can store more data. Cheap processing means we can more easily process data. Devices, applications, systems means we are producing more data. Data is cheaper. Used to be data, you'd have to key into a machine, right? Have to have a person to key the data into a machine. Now, data is coming from everything, from applications, from devices, from sensors. So data itself costs much less. Applications. The new economy is application driven. Even if you are not an IT company, Starbucks, Coca-Cola, right? You are an applications company. And we'll see some of those companies later on. So being able to innovate with applications, build and deploy applications quickly is very important. And one of the things that's helping to drive this whole revolution is a revolution in infrastructure. The cloud is driving infrastructural costs down, but also the cloud is driving infrastructural flexibility up. Right? So it's no longer, you know, have to call Dell and Hewlett-Packard and say, order a server 3 weeks. You know, it's turn the button, instant access to computing power. So the Microsoft cloud, think of it as really having three pillars. We will cover one today, but those three pillars are productivity applications, Office 365, SharePoint Online. I expect that almost everybody in the room is using those. You know, a very important part of Microsoft's cloud offering. Business applications, Microsoft Dynamics CRM, right? You know, again, a very important application. We're seeing very strong uptake of that in Australia and New Zealand. In fact, just yesterday, they announced the availability of Office 365 and CRM physically hosted in Australia, which is very exciting for us. And then the third pillar is platform. Microsoft Azure as a cloud platform for us as partners and our customers to build applications on top of. That platform allows us to innovate more quickly. Today's session is about how we help customers on the journey from where they are today towards being able to take that rapid pace of innovation. Why choose Microsoft? Microsoft's a global scale organization. They have deployed a global scale cloud, right? They call it the hyperscale cloud. There are, you know, I need less than five fingers to count the number of companies in the world providing capability like that. Microsoft provides a comprehensive cloud platform, both platform as a service and infrastructure as a service, giving you the flexibility to move existing workloads and innovate building new workloads. It is an enterprise-grade cloud. Microsoft brings many years of history working with enterprises in on-premises software and hosting significant applications in the cloud. Microsoft helps to deliver people-centered experiences by bringing both the cloud capability and rich device functionality and management tools such as Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, and Intune. And a very unique pillar to Microsoft's offering is strength in doing hybrid cloud. Microsoft has deep expertise in the operating system, and therefore they have a very strong capability to deliver the hybrid cloud with Windows Server, System Center, and other platforms. You know, the ability of System Center to manage VMware, for example, the ability to run Linux in the cloud. Microsoft Azure is global scale, right? More than 100 data centers in more than 40 countries. Microsoft Azure itself, you know, hosted broadly across the Americas, Europe, Asia, Japan, Australia. It's been announced for India. So, you know, very significant global footprint. It is an enterprise-grade platform. Why is that? Well, Microsoft has and does run many significant cloud-hosted applications themselves. Who can think of some big ones? MSN? MSN, exactly. Hotmail. Anyone use Hotmail? Now Outlook.com. Xbox. Who plays Xbox? Yeah, a few people play Xbox. Again, Xbox, these massive cloud applications. So Microsoft runs the enterprise cloud for themselves, and Microsoft's enterprise technology is run by many, many businesses worldwide. It means they are well positioned to deliver the enterprise-grade cloud, as well as being that comprehensive platform by delivering both infrastructure-level capabilities and higher-level platform services for building applications. Microsoft started as an on-premises company, right? Back in the early 1980s, Windows, DOS, right? They have a strong history in on-premises solutions. They have tools to manage those on-premises solutions, but they also have tools that can manage both on-premises and in the cloud. All large enterprise customers will have a hybrid solution of some sort. The very small number of startups do cloud only, right? The vast majority of organizations will need a hybrid solution across public cloud or public clouds, private cloud or private clouds, and even partner data centers. Microsoft has focused its cloud on being trusted, open, and flexible. Trusted is very important, and trust really consists of two key things. The first is fundamentally security. Right? Microsoft has top-class engineers working in their data centers. There are qualities of scale. When you run a very, very large data center, you can have the smartest people working on it. You can have the highest levels of automation. You can have the highest levels of redundancy. You can have the highest levels of both physical and electronic security. It's designed with privacy in mind. It's designed with compliance in mind. Microsoft work hard to establish certifications in the areas of compliance such as PCI, HIPAA, and so forth. That help you build solutions that in turn meet those industry compliance requirements. It's flexible, so Microsoft's stack is now focused on being very flexible, able to build and support applications that run on multiple platforms, iOS, Android, Windows, manage the devices, iOS, Android, Windows, run Windows in the cloud, run Linux in the cloud. You will have seen recent announcements such as the support for Docker. Anybody using Docker and containers and microservices? We will talk a little on that later, because if you look at where .NET is moving, it's moving towards being able to support things like microservices. So Microsoft is very focused on a cloud that is not just a Microsoft cloud, right? That is a cloud that is open to all types of technology. The Microsoft cloud is focused on delivering people-centered experiences. Everybody has a smart device, right? Everybody brings their own IT. We kind of have to accept that, because in many organizations, the person bringing their own IT is the chief executive. And so what you need are tools that support these people-centered experiences rather than prevent these people-centered experiences. So Microsoft, bring tools to extend your IT reach to support people with their own devices, such as Intune, to make it easy to deploy your apps across all platforms, anywhere, anytime. Ultimately, about providing all of your people, stakeholders, staff, customers, with access to the apps and systems that they want, wherever they choose to use them. I often tell the story, my funny story is that I like taking my conference calls in interesting places. Ski lodges, I go ski lifts, in the hot tub, on my stand-up paddleboard. I'm doing conference calls because I expect to be able to use technology wherever I am. Right? That is people-centered experiences enabled by the Microsoft Cloud. So what can we do with the Microsoft Cloud platform? We can empower enterprise mobility, right? I just spoke about enabling our people, our staff, customers, stakeholders to work in the way that they want to work wherever they are. We can create the Internet of Things, right? If you have smart devices, right? Consumer devices, enterprise devices, sensors, smart phones, through smart watches, through smart sports monitors and so forth, you are going to connect those to the cloud somehow. Azure provides an excellent platform for you to connect your things into. We can enable application innovation. The cloud lets us iterate very, very quickly because the cloud gives us the freedom and flexibility to stand up workloads quickly, to change, to evolve, and to redeploy without some of the impact to change that we often find inside enterprise IT. It's a very strong driver to the cloud, this ability to innovate quickly. We've spoken about data, right? Data is cheap. If we're generating data, we should be capturing it. If we're running applications, right, we should be capturing their exhaust, right? It's like driving a car with the exhaust, right? We should capture that and turn it into value, right? The cloud lets us bring to bear massive computing power to derive and unlock insights from our data. And we can transform the idea of our data center. You know, our data center goes from being something that's entirely in a box that we control to actually being something that's spread across multiple sites, across multiple providers, be it our own hardware, be it partner hardware, and across the public cloud. And the Microsoft Cloud offering lets us take that vision of the data center and manage it using tools such as System Center and Azure. An example of an interesting company doing interesting things, and when you come to present this yourselves to your customers, I would encourage you to work with your customers and tell their stories. You know, if you have exciting stories about big customers here in Mexico, bring those to your customers when you go and tell these stories. The story I'd like to talk about is ThyssenKrupp Elevators. So they build lifts in many of the largest buildings in the world. And what they've done is they've used the Azure platform to bring their things to the cloud, their elevators to the cloud, to fit them with sensors and instrumentation, to capture that data, to process it in the cloud, and to move from a scenario where they take maintenance of problems on a break-fix basis to where they undertake maintenance on a predictive basis, where they can monitor vibration and sensors in elevators and actually predict when they're likely to get failure and take preventative maintenance to improve the overall uptime for these elevators. And what you'll see that's quite interesting with manufacturing is manufacturers moving from selling goods to selling services. If you're an airline, anybody from an airline? All right, if you go and buy an airplane, a couple of $100 million, and it's got jet engines on it. In many cases, you don't buy the jet engines. What you do is you pay for hours of jet thrust time from a big engine maker. And that engine maker provides the engines, maintains the engines, monitors the engines remotely, right? And is selling you not engines, but thrust hours, time with those engines pushing the plane forward. A pivot from manufacturers selling goods to manufacturers selling services. It's great, people like us in services businesses, it's very reassuring as these large companies move from selling goods to selling services. And it's the cloud and connectivity that's enabling that to happen. So there are many, many large organizations betting on the cloud platform, and I suspect that there's probably one or two in here that your organizations may have worked with. There's certainly a handful in there who we've worked with at Intergent. And again, I encourage you within the requirements that Microsoft have about disclosure and customer consent to bring your own customer stories to this presentation. So now let's talk about, taking this vision of the cloud and using it to enable application innovation within our customers. So we've spoken about this Microsoft cloud as being of global scale, one of the handful of organizations able to bring a hyperscale cloud to the market. Enterprise grade, right? It's being used to run significant services globally. A comprehensive platform at both the infrastructure and the platform as a service level, able to deliver hybrid cloud and deliver to customers these people-centered experiences. A key role in helping to bring this vision of the cloud to reality is the solution architect. That's those of us in this room, right? We are the people who can bring this technical capability and map these technical capabilities to business. Not just business requirements, but to business strategy, right? To business processes. We hold the power in our hands and in our minds, right? To be able to bring revolutionary ideas to business to make a strategic change. I'm sure folks have heard of McKinsey. You guys have McKinsey? Yep. Yeah, big consulting, one of the big consulting firms. They talk about the key needs for IT talent in analytics, right? Definitely data scientists. If you tried to hire a data scientist lately, right? Very, very hard to find. And then joint business and IT expertise. That's really where we sit as architects, right? We form that bridge between business and IT. We are the confidant of the business people to help them use IT to deliver their business goals. It means that people like Gartner are talking of organizations really looking to reinvigorate architecture within their organizations. And that is all about this pivot towards architecture as being no longer focused very much on technology, but it's focused on synthesizing business and technology to help use technology to deliver new strategic benefits for organizations. It's a very exciting time. So what are we as architects going to be helping with? Things like platform decisions, right? Choosing how we and what technology we bring to bear to build solutions for the business. Envisioning solutions for new business opportunities. Actually thinking like a startup inside the enterprise. How can we bring new business models to bear? I spoke about the jet engines, right? That's a new business model enabled by technology being brought to the business. Connecting systems to create business value. So taking existing systems, taking new systems, integrating those. And to a large degree, it is in our hands to motivate and evangelize change within our organizations. You know, the architect has to be technically smart, right? Understand business, and a really good communicator. You know, you've got to be able to help take that vision to your business to make things happen. Because the opportunity is here, right? You know, the big topics, cloud, mobile, social, big data, those are all within our sphere of expertise today as architects. They're all enabled by offering such as Azure, such as Windows 8, Windows Phone. And it's all about how we can take those, communicate those to our businesses to drive growth, to drive change, to drive out cost, to bring strategic value to the business. So what are some of Microsoft's strategies for helping to deliver that innovation? It's about investing in a flexible platform today, thinking about tomorrow. Right? There are very few organizations who get to who are doing greenfields IT rewrites. You're always working with something existing. You're always implementing something new. You're always thinking of the future. It's about increasing responsiveness. Right? One of the biggest changes that we've seen lately, and you only need to look at Microsoft's products as an example of that, is this increased cadence of innovation. Right? The companies that are really succeeding have increased their cadence of innovation. We need to bring to bear technology and platforms to support that increased cadence of innovation. And it's about implementing change without taking unnecessary risks. Right? We need to be able to innovate quickly. We don't want to do that, you know, by completely throwing away the important controls that we have around security, privacy, and so forth. So the reality of today's platform, right, is that it is multi-vendor, multi-platform, multi-version. Right? There just aren't organizations out there who say, you know, we're entirely Windows 8.1, we're entirely Windows Phone, we only use Windows on the server, and we only use .NET. Then we got a customer like that? No, right? Part of the business has got iPhone, part of the business has got Android, part of the business is using Windows Phone, someone's got some Linux servers and someone's got some Windows servers. There's a bit of Java tucked over there, there's some PHP or Python over there, there's a big chunk of .NET capability here, but actually that .NET capability, there's some .NET 2.0, some .NET 3.0, some 3.5, and there's some people playing with Owen looking at .NET futures. That is the landscape in which we have to work. So, you know, what do we need to be thinking about? How do we integrate new projects? So how do we take that existing landscape and not let us hold us back in terms of doing new things with technology? How do we extend into the cloud, right? You know, so where we're currently working primarily on premises, how do we start taking advantage of the cloud, right? Because we know that we can't just pick the organization up and move it wholesale to the cloud, and we never will, right? How do we start to extend into the cloud? And how do we deliver multiple user experiences? As an organization building apps for stakeholders, for staff, for our customers, you know, we're not targeting a single platform. We're not targeting the web anymore, right? 6 years ago, you would have said, how do you deliver applications? In the browser, on the web, right? It's not like that anymore. We have to deliver multiple experiences. Yes, it's in a browser, but yes, it's an app on a phone as well. And it's on iOS and Android and Windows Phone. And actually, yes, it's an app on tablets as well, because it's on Windows 8.1 as a tablet, and iOS as a tablet, and Android as a tablet. We need to ship multiple user experiences. So to do that, you need a flexible platform. You need to be able to support all the different approaches to deploy your infrastructure, on-prem, partner, in the cloud, right? Linux, Windows, other operating systems. You've got to have deployment choice. You need to be able to deal with different types of data, right? Again, 10 years ago, your data went where? SQL Server, or maybe Oracle, right? or maybe DB2, right? But it went into, you know, probably one of half a dozen big enterprise-grade relational databases. Now, no, it's all over the place. We have relational, we have non-relational, we have streaming data coming off sensors where there's no way you could put it into a relational database. We need a platform that is able to deal with all of that data. Applications. We have existing applications. We have new applications. We have a range of languages that we need to support. In some cases, because that's where the expertise lies in our business. In some cases, because those languages are particularly well suited to dealing with certain problems. We have a range of different frameworks. We have a range of different versions. We have architectural approaches to building applications, IaaS, PaaS, quite different approaches. We have a need to support both of them. You know, so we need a platform that's open and interoperable that supports all of those languages and different ways of working. And we need to be on all the devices, right? You know, you can't close your eyes and block your ears to the drumbeat. The world is a heterogeneous melting pot of devices, different screen sizes, different operating systems. All right? We need to be able to support all devices. Hopefully it's no surprise to all of you that Microsoft provides that capability. Right? Provides deployment choice in terms of where and how we run our applications. Provides a range of both Microsoft and third-party support for data platforms. You know, provides an open and interoperable stack for working with a range of different languages and architectural approaches. And provides tools and technologies to build and manage users and applications on a heterogeneous device fleet. Some examples of businesses who have extended applications to the cloud. EasyJet. Anybody ever flown EasyJet? They're in the United Kingdom. They're a low-cost carrier out of the United Kingdom. Bert Craven's their enterprise architect. Bert has been using Azure for as long as I've been using Azure, because Bert and I drank a lot of Cervasis at Microsoft's PDC. Cervasis is beer, yeah? Beer? Cervasis. Yeah. We drank a lot of beer back when Azure was launched. So what EasyJet did is they took their existing on-premises applications and they extended them into the cloud by building out their seat booking system in the cloud that runs in the cloud, scales in the cloud, but actually connects back into on-premises services. So they can take advantage of the elastic scale in the cloud, right, while keeping much of their application still running on-prem. So this allows them, right, to innovate, right? Because a lot of innovation these days, whether you're a technology company or not, you are innovating through apps. Apps are a way that you are bringing your business to your customers. So what are some of the things that are driving these faster business outcomes? People, right? You know, the key thing for people is enabling our people to be agile, right? Enabling our people to bring to bear their expertise, giving them the tools and technologies that they need to be able to be agile. Everybody uses MSDN? Yeah? So, you know, a key thing for our organization is having MSDN for our staff and allowing them to have some Azure credits that they can use to stand machines up. You know, used to be that to stand a machine up in our organization, you know, go through some processes, we have a private cloud. But with Azure, on an individual basis, you can stand machines up, do some testing, run new versions, right? You don't have to go and have like three or four laptops, because you always have, this is my working laptop, and this is my laptop that has like the new build of Windows and the new build of Visual Studio. You can just stand that up in Azure. So it's enabling our people with technology, with these flexible platforms, right? Enabling them to have this agile process. Because that's really what we're aiming for. We're aiming to have a process that lets us iterate quickly. As a consulting organisation, it's often very hard to convince my customers of the commercial model in Agile. Usually my customers want to know two things. How much is it going to cost? Yeah? What's the cost? What am I going to get? Right? What are two things that Agile doesn't tell you at the start? What am I going to get? And how much is it going to cost? Right? The thing with Agile is the real benefits come not in the first part of the project, but they come after your first release. Because by being Agile, you can go live early, and then you can ship new functionality quickly. All right? So when you talk to customers about why be Agile, why does that process matter? Right? It's not the time before go live, it's the time after go live, right? When I can be more agile, when I can ship new capability more quickly, because I can confidently ship a new production build using these automated tools. I can confidently bring new ideas to my application and know that they will run through that agile process. The cloud is going to free up people time inside our organizations. Right? We're going to spend less time maintaining and managing systems. For some people, that's quite scary. Do you see some of that concern? People worried that cloud might take their jobs? Right. We see a little of that concern. The message for your business here is, we are moving from operating to innovating. Technologists are moving from operating to innovating, right? We really are going to move to being strategic players in our organizations. Some of us may say, no, actually, I'm going, right? Doesn't interest me. But it's a huge opportunity for us to use those freed resources, time, machine hardware, to innovate inside our businesses. Using the cloud, right, to deliver business value faster. So Walsh Construction are using Microsoft Azure to deliver an application out to their job sites on mobile devices. By taking an agile approach, they have much faster development cycles. They can take much more feedback from the people on the ground to improve their application. They can take data on how their application is being used and use that to feed back into that agile process and improve the application. Right, so our application lifecycle is going from something that is sort of focused on shipping a product or shipping an application to a process that feeds back on itself, right? That delivers an application and then takes feedback on that application from users, from customers, from data, and uses that to improve the application over time. So the Microsoft platform really helps us to deliver innovation to our businesses through innovating on applications. Right? You know, it takes us back to sort of a great period in technology. If people remember back to the 1990s, right? There was a huge amount of innovation back then, right? What was it driven by? Things like Visual Basic, right? And things like Microsoft Access, right? Why was there so much innovation? Well, because it was so fast, right? You know, the thing that made Access such a star, and someone on this video is probably gonna comment and slap me, right? But the reason it was so fantastic is because it was so fast. What the cloud and the new Microsoft capability is providing us is this ability to be fast with applications. And if you take just one thing away today, it's to be fast, all right? It's to get to being fast. And I hope that we're going to take you on a journey to talk about being fast. And being fast is about bringing new value quickly, having the people and the processes and the technology to bring new value quickly. So what is your criteria in sort of choosing a partner to help you to be fast, to bring this innovation and this new capability quickly? You want someone with a proven track record. Right? I think, you know, it's one of the great things that Microsoft brings us, this proven track record, both in running their own cloud services and in building the platforms and software that you've used for some time. You want a large, comprehensive developer ecosystem. Right? It may be wonderful to build everything in R. Anybody know R? Right? Know what R is? It's the data science language. Right? That's great. It's very hard to find people. You know, you need to be able to tap a large developer ecosystem with lots of people to help you get things done. Microsoft brings that large developer ecosystem. You need a platform that has strong security, threat protection, detection, removal, that is securing your resources that you have now entrusted in their cloud data center from attack. You know, I absolutely have strong confidence in the big cloud providers and their security for looking after my applications. You need world-class storage, backup, recovery, and ability to fail over, globally to fail over, to take advantage of all of these data centers to build applications that, you know, touch wood and, you know, with the exception of some recent challenges, never go down, all right? Mm-hmm. Probably for the first time in our history, we can architect applications that never fail. With these open platforms, we can potentially build applications that run in Azure, but then fail over to other cloud providers if there are any problems, you know? All of these approaches are now within the realm of opportunity for us as architects. We need to deliver new technologies, right? To deliver mobility, to deliver smart devices, right? I think the next couple of years is going to be an explosion in wearable technology, not just in consumer land. So it's not just going to be wearables for people like me who like to go running and fitness people. It's going to be an explosion in wearables for enterprises. It's going to be smart devices for health and safety in the mining sector, right? Now, it really is going to be a move to wearable computing. It's going to be wearable computing in warehouses for people doing pick and pack. We actually have some of this already. We have wearable wrist computers with barcode scanners and some of our clients doing major picking operations. You know, it's these sorts of things that this new technology wave and this moving fast is going to enable us to bring to our businesses. And we need something that at the end of the day is an enterprise class offering. And for smaller customers, you know, that's actually something that the cloud gives them that they don't have today, right? The cloud gives you enterprise class IT at a commodity price. So I think that's pretty important to understand as well. So another good example of a customer making extensive use of Azure is Callaway Golf. So Callaway Golf have moved a number of workloads to the cloud. Some of them have been existing workloads, where they've just lifted and shifted those workloads into the cloud. Some have been new workloads, such as applications that their outside salespeople use when they go and try and sell golf clubs to people. All right? Who plays golf? Is golf big in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty big? As big as football?
No?
Nothing's as big as football. Yeah, so think of, you know, Callaway is like the Adidas of golf, right? Huge in golf. So have a massive sales force. So they have a mobile sales application for outside sales reps. All of their device fleet managed with Intune, right? All enabled by the Microsoft Cloud. So we need to think as architects about architecting for today and tomorrow. You can think of Think of IT a little bit like a city, right? You know, and think of us as architects as a little bit about architects working in a city. You don't start with a green field. In fact, I think there's only one major city, well, it's not that major, but one city in the world that is starting with a green field. Who can tell me what it is? There's a city in New Zealand called Christchurch. Yeah. Why are they starting with a green field? Because we had a massive earthquake, right? And it almost took out the whole of our downtown city. Like, not too many people killed, but many buildings had to be taken down. So now lots of flat land and lots of architects imagining the future. We don't have that, right? We have some legacy applications, right? You know, existing stuff, we have to work in with it, integrate with it, continue to support it. And so what we're looking for is a platform that is flexible to meet our needs today, and that helps us start that journey becoming faster, delivering quicker innovation with our people, our expertise, through agile processes, and with the ranges of new technology that we have available to us now. So that's the first module. That's the Envision module. That's where we're really setting the vision of Microsoft's cloud platform. And then over the rest of the day, we're going to start to incrementally dive deeper and deeper and deeper into the stack. And we have documentation, right, and the full source code of a reference application that will let you go as deep as you want to go. The S that they're usually concerned about is security, right? Everybody say, oh, I'm worried about security, right? I'm not very worried about security. The biggest weakness of the cloud in terms of security is it's a really big target, right? It's like a jetliner, you know? If we compare it to, you know, security against other things, it's a big target. If I can compromise a big cloud provider, it's a big win for me. But on the other hand, this cloud provider is extremely well set up in terms of dealing with security. How so? Well, let's start with, you know, if you think about your data center, if I think about my data center, right? Probably the biggest risk is not electronic, it's physical, right? It's security from natural disaster, a massive earthquake. It's security from someone driving their Silverado up one day with a sledgehammer and a chainsaw and knocking a hole in the wall, right? And walking in and picking up a server and walking out and thank you very much. For a lot of organizations, the biggest security risk is someone doing that, right? That ain't gonna happen with a cloud provider, right? Electronic security, I mean, because they're so big, right, you get these qualities of scale. It's Microsoft, right? If there's an early exploit of Windows, who has the earliest access to the fixes and patches for that early exploit of Windows? It's Microsoft, right? So both in terms of physical security and in terms of electronic security, the best place for your data is in one of the large cloud providers for security. But there's another S. And I call that sovereignty.
Big issue in Mexico.
Big issue everywhere. Right? It's a big issue everywhere. So an interesting story about me, I actually trained as a lawyer. So my background, my whole family are lawyers. Right? My brother's a prosecutor, criminal prosecutor. My father is a big petroleum lawyer. Lots of legal background. That's the hard conversation. Why? Well, because it's very complex and it's not as easy as solving with large fences and large walls and smart people, right? You get 20 smart lawyers in the room, they will not agree on anything. Right? This is the more challenging problem. You resolve, so sovereignty is about my data is in the cloud data center. The cloud data center is in San Antonio, right? It's customer data. Which laws apply? Mexico privacy law? American privacy law? What about in Singapore? The data center's in Singapore. Which laws apply? Mexican privacy law? American privacy law? Singapore privacy law? Which courts have jurisdiction? Mexican courts? American courts? Singaporean courts? Who can subpoena data? Who can get a search warrant? Right. It is a very complex area. I think the important thing to discuss with your customers is Microsoft takes this matter very seriously. So as someone, and again, I don't work for Microsoft, I work with Microsoft. I'm in the same position as you. I'm a CXO of a large, I mean, we're about a 800 people partner. This is a concern to us. But I see Microsoft doing the right things. You may be familiar, there's a case in New York State at the moment with a criminal prosecutor wanting to retrieve someone's email that's in the Microsoft Ireland data center, which they're endeavoring to do with a thing called a subpoena. The nice thing about a subpoena versus a search warrant is it has extra jurisdictional effect. You get a search warrant, great. You've got to send someone from America to Ireland to execute the search warrant. Doesn't work so well. With subpoena, you just say, Microsoft, here's the order, hand over the data. Microsoft is pushing back against these things. Right? You know, so you can read blog posts by Brad Smith, who's the legal counsel, talking about pushing back against these things. This is the hard topic. And the way to approach this topic is I just talk to customers, you need to make a business judgment. This is all about making a business judgment. If you are the Mexican Department of Foreign Affairs, your data is probably not going in a public cloud provider. Every large organization is going to be some sort of a hybrid. They will have different weightings, how much they can be in the cloud, how much they can be on premises, right? Think of a very sensitive institution, public sector, and not just any public sector, Foreign Affairs Ministry, Defense Department. They are going to be heavily weighted towards being on premises, but they may still have some stuff in the cloud, right? At the other end of the spectrum, think about, you know, a new startup business, right? New startup business, you don't want any IT, right? You want some laptops and everything in the cloud. And it's a business decision what your profile looks like. Because everybody is going to be some sort of hybrid, everybody wants the best platform for doing hybrid, right? Hands down, right? The best platform for doing hybrid is Microsoft's platform. Why? Well, because it's their operating system. I mean, it's Windows, right? It's System Center. You know, the other providers don't have those tools. They have some support for those tools, maybe, right? But the strongest offering in doing hybrid cloud is Microsoft. And it's not just hybrid cloud in terms of, oh, we can use System Center to manage the whole stack. It's hybrid cloud in terms of, okay, we've got Azure Pack over here, right, to run PaaS-type applications on premises. And I think you're going to see a whole lot more innovation from Microsoft in that area, right? So mechanisms that allow you to have a completely common view of deployment across whichever end of the spectrum you are. So it looks and feels just the same deploying an application on-prem as in the cloud.
You can take advantage of cloud platform system offering, for example. CPS, are you familiar with the cloud platform system? Is an offering that we are running with Dell just to provide private cloud with Azure Pack. So we can go to Azure as a public cloud to go and interact as a hybrid cloud.
Yeah.
Maybe it's another thing that we can hold in.
It lets you innovate quickly, right? Because if your private cloud looks the same is your public cloud, you have complete flexibility of choice. Flexibility is agility, right? Agility is moving quickly, right? Agile soccer players, right? Where do you put them? Right, in the front, right? So flexibility in cloud, flexibility of choice gives us agility. Our most agile, when we're agile, right, we're innovating quickly. We are very competitive as a business. You know, I think that the pure play cloud providers, right, they got some great case studies in startup land, right? You know, people like to cite the, you know, what proportion of US internet traffic is going to Amazon? Well, that's because it's got Netflix in it. Enterprises aren't like Netflix, right? You know, there's tens, hundreds of thousands of large enterprises. There ain't many Netflixes, right? And I think that's really important. You know, there's no point in taking startup business case studies to customers, right? I know who is taking startup business case studies to customers. You need to take case studies from businesses like them. Enterprise businesses like them, enterprise businesses with the same concerns, the same challenges, the same propensity to need that hybrid cloud offering. Does that sort of speak to that a little? You know, because we know that someone like AWS, they're going to wheel in lots of big startup-like businesses who run on their platform, and that's great, you know. but actually, my enterprise customers don't look anything like your startup business. You know, I've got big miners and big banks and public sector. They don't look like Netflix.